The Doug Wright Show, where Utah news breaks on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
For 2018, I'm not going to run for the House. I'm not going to run for the Senate. I'm not going to run for anything and, you know, go back to the private sector. It's where I came from.
And then shortly thereafter, we were informed by Jason Chaffetz, our 3rd District Congressman, that there was the possibility that he would or could depart early, which indeed he is doing. And this is the last full day of Jason Chaffetz serving as our 3rd District Congressman here in the state of Utah. Jason, welcome to the program. Thanks for accepting our invitation. Jason, do we have you there? Okay, we're just double-checking our lines right now to make sure that we have Congressman Chaffetz on the line with us here at KSL News Radio. It'll be interesting to see. There's so many things that we want to discuss with Congressman Chaffetz since this is his last day. I mean, I wonder how that feels after the long tenure in the United States Congress, not long compared to some. I mean, you look at some that have served us in the Senate and in the House, and it's been considerably longer, but Jason Chaffetz has been in office since 2008. Congressman, do we have you there now?
Yes, I'm here.
There we go. Apologize for our wires being crossed there for a second. This is your last full day where you'll be the United States Congressman from Utah in the 3rd Congressional District. When you woke up this morning, what was on your mind?
I cleaned up the office. The sheets I've been using for the last 8 years, I put them in the garbage. I'm not taking those home and expecting to put them in the laundry machine at all. So we're done with those sheets, and I'm packing up everything and looking forward to coming home.
Is it at all a melancholy or a poignant experience today?
Yeah, I mean, it's such an honor to be here. Very few people get to do it, and I've been elected 5 terms, and I'm very honored. And it's a bit surreal to be in these positions and to have this voice and this opportunity. But it's very reflective, too. But, you know, I just believe you get in, serve, and get out. And the republic will survive, and, you know, life will go on.
You know, we've promoted over the last couple of days that we'd be chatting with you. And I've had a lot of people, not in a vindictive or not in a mean way, but people say, I am genuinely curious. I'm not fully satisfied with the answer that, well, you know, it's family. Because, you know, it was probably family in October. It was probably family in early November. Several people have just been blunt and they said, what in the world changed for our 3rd District Congressman between Election Day on November 8th when he was asking for our vote versus his decision to not only not run again, but to leave the office early in March? And you've talked about this to a degree, but I'll be really blunt with you, Jason. You and I have known each other for a long time. I consider you a friend. A lot of folks aren't buying it. They're just going, something must have happened here. What so dramatically changed between November 8th and the announcement in March?
Well, it goes back further than that. I mean, over the last 18 months, when I first decided to run for a fifth term, you know, two of our 3 kids have fallen in love, gotten married, and now are actually moving out of state. In March of this year, I turned 50, which is a reflecting point. You know, and I'm looking at another 200 to 300 nights that I would be spending away from my family. We're about to become empty nesters. The frustration that brings in your life is immense. Like, I can't even begin to tell you how that affects a family. And I just can't imagine a couple hundred nights where my wife's there by herself and I'm here sleeping on a cot. That's just not the kind of life I wanted to lead. And you add on to that, and I haven't talked much about this, but the frustration that we're not actually getting stuff done here. I mean, I thought we were going into a situation where the Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and we were actually going to get stuff done. But, you know, we were told we were going to load up the first part of January so that by the time the president gets sworn in, we would actually have the repeal and replace bill for Obamacare. Well, we're turning the corner into July, and there's not a set plan here. Legislative imperatives that I've been working on, I can't even get a meeting to talk about those. And so you add the frustration of some of the work side of it with the reality of the family, And I just thought, you know what, my attitude is turning sour, and that's not healthy. And I just think you get in, serve, and get out. That's what I believed in. All right, let's. You can complain and whine about it, or you can do something about it. And maybe it's time to give somebody else a shot to do it.
I've wondered if some of the changes and some of the frustrations, and especially now with Republican control at every level and domination in the House, not a comfortable lead, but a lead in the Senate, and now with the White House, I've wondered how frustrating that might be for those who are in, as you are, leadership positions within the Republican Party. How big a factor is this? This is something that you've elaborated on more over the last several days. How big a deal is this?
Well, it's a factor, but combined with the number one on my hierarchy of needs in my family, in my life, it was a factor. It's not the driving factor. Everybody in every job and every part of, you know, in every community has things that they deal with that are very frustrating. But, you know, we also have the right to move on, and I exercise that. And I know it surprised a lot of people, and a lot of people don't want to believe that my family is that important to me, but it really is.
I absolutely believe that your family is important to you. I think what people are wondering is kind of what changed. Was a conversation like this had in November? Was it had in October? Was it had in, you know, when those decisions were being made to whether to run again or not? But let's not hammer on that anymore. I really appreciated your response on that. But tell us a little bit more about Fox News. How long has that been in the works? And what the heck are you going to be doing? You know, you're giving up a respectable day job to get into what I do for a living. What's wrong with you?
Well, you know what? Another part of this, Doug, is I've always admired those athletes, and not to compare myself in any way. I guess in part I am, but I've always admired the athletes who got out on top. You know, they didn't stick around too long. I didn't want to ever be one of those guys. But when we turned, you know, I turned 50 in March. That's really, my wife was out here with me. That really was the point where we kind of made this final decision, which had been percolating for a little while. And so I thought, all right, let's see if I'm worth anything. And I went to the major networks and talked to a bunch of them and said, hey, I'm going to leave. I need you to keep this quiet, but, you know, would a guy like me be worth to have a relationship with? And I did get a couple offers and came to terms fairly quickly with Fox News. I'm just going to be a contributor. It's not my full-time responsibility or full-time job, but I can do most of it out of Utah. I will travel to New York and to Washington, D.C. from time to time, maybe once a month, maybe, which is so much better than the day in and day out, week in and week out of, you know, what I'm having to do in Congress.
You know, that's one thing that that many people wondered, including me, and it's been the topic of some water cooler conversation. Gosh, if he wants to kind of be home with his family and so on, is he now going to have to move? Is he going to move the family with him? But a lot of people don't realize, because I've done that, you know, whether it's for CNN or for other networks, where you just go down to a particular studio, could be KSL, could be an independent studio, and you just sit in front of a screen and you give your thoughts and opinions that way. So that's a perfectly realistic.
Yeah, no, there's a facility right there in Salt Lake. I'm going to be on Fox and Friends first thing in the morning. It's a rather early call, but I'll be up there and go do that. But then I, you know, go home and do the rest of my day and my life. And so I said to them, what is it that you want from me? And they said, all we want you to do is just call it like you see it. That's the only thing we ask. So, no, it doesn't require me and put me in a position to go other places. But if I do go to other places, then, you know, I actually get to stay in a nice hotel, and I actually get the airfare, and I can bring my wife. And, you know, it's a different scenario, but that is but one thing that I will be doing, and it's a great relationship.
So no cot for you in the green room?
I am done with cot. Although, if I go camping this weekend, which I'm thinking about doing, if I can find a place that's not on fire, there may be another cot in my life this weekend, but only in the mountains of Utah. That's about all I plan to do with the cot.
You know, everybody's wondering, and I shan't be so crass as to ask, I know others have, But everybody is wondering how much you are going to be making. And let me just put it this way. Are you going to be one of my wealthier acquaintances at some time in the not too far distant future?
You know what I love about going back into the private sector? I don't have to answer that question. And also, you know what, in the terms of the contract, I'm prohibited from talking about that. So I feel no compulsion to answer that question, and it gives me great joy to say that.
Jason, can you stay for a second more?
Sure, sure.
All right, we'll come back. I want to talk about the book deal. I want to talk about if there are still any future political things. I mean, after all, we will have a governor's race in 2020, and more all with Jason Chaffetz, who is on the line with us, and this is the last full day where we will be addressing him as Congressman Jason Chaffetz from the 3rd Congressional District. If I were to chat with him tomorrow at this same time, it would be former Congressman Jason Chaffetz. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Is on the line with us, and tomorrow at this time he will be our former congressman. We've talked about several of the issues that are floating out there. Congressman, let's talk quickly about this book deal. I had always assumed that there would be a book. I mean, I look at many who have run for public office, who have served in public office, and there have been books of various stripes, including even religious books. I've seen that from several. I saw that from Bob Bennett. I saw it from Jake Garn and others. What is your book going to be about?
I think I'm going to write about the deep state, if you will. There is this bureaucracy here that tends to protect its own and tries to sway things politically. I get a lot of questions about it. It's something from my perch as chair of oversight and just being on the oversight committee prior to that I've really gotten to understand. And it's a monster unto itself. It's going to take a while. This is like for the latter part of 2018, probably, until that comes about. I've written a few words along the way, but I haven't really started it yet. And I got a publisher that's interested in publishing it, so mm-hmm. I'm excited about that.
What about future political aspirations? As you look at the environment, there will be an open seat for governor, assuming, of course, and I have no reason to believe that he would alter this decision. Gary Herbert has said he will not run again. It will be an open seat for governor. What about the future in politics?
Well, perhaps. I mean, look, I'm not leaving politics with some cute plan to bolt over here in order to come back over there. I'm just saying I'm not closing the door on that. I don't see any reason to close the door on that. But, look, I'm going to make this transition, put my head down for the next couple years, get a better balance in my life, and then reevaluate and see if that's still an opportunity. I don't know that what that might bring or if Utahns would want me to do something like that again, but it's a possibility. I like to joke that it's a definite maybe, but I certainly haven't made a decision. I'm dismantling what I'm doing, not trying to build something up at the moment.
As you look back over your shoulder over these last, what's almost been a decade, where you have been back in Washington, D.C., as you look over that shoulder and you see kind of the path that you have trod, what are your fondest moments and greatest accomplishments?
Well, there's several things. I think we were able to do a number of things for Utah that maybe didn't get the headlines that they needed to. But, you know, there were 1,200 people that we helped with their immigration cases, primarily with the work of Jennifer Amberlin in her office and the great work she's done. The things that we have done in the rural communities, getting more money for the Moab tailings cleanup, the hydroelectric Diamond Fork project, the Y Mountain. I mean, these are things that we could actually tangibly do for our district. It's very satisfying. I'm very touched by the people who lost and gave their lives for this country from the Utah's 3rd District. I carry their names in my wallet every day that I've been in office. I went to each of their funerals. It's probably the hardest thing I did as a member of Congress, but also the most rewarding. In terms of just being able to express their love of nation and love for their service. And then I guess lastly, if I had to make a sweeping generalization, I would say if you look back over the last 8 years in all of the things from Fast and Furious and the IRS to the Secret Service to the Hillary Clinton emails to you name it, I've been right in the thick of those investigations, and you probably wouldn't have ever even heard about them except for the work that, you know, myself and Trey Gowdy and good staff has done to uncover those. I think that's part of who we are as America. We are self-critical. We do take a good hard look in order to make things better. It's what differentiates us in this country. And to be involved in that engagement of holding people accountable was a big part of my platform that I ran on, and to be able to actually do and accomplish that it's been a great honor.
At this point, Jason, the odds are that it will be either Tanner Ainge or it will be Jim Bennett or it will be Mayor John Curtis or it will be Dr. Kathy Allen who take your seat. That's how it appears to be unfolding at this time, the 3rd Congressional District seat. What advice would you have for whomever?
Or Chris Herod, yeah.
I'm sorry. I totally messed up on that.
No,
Chris
right,
Herod.
Right.
Boy,
no,
he's
I mean, look,
he, now he's going to really put me in a weird photograph. So,
no,
Chris,
look,
I apologize.
No. We're fine. But you got to work hard. You got to pour your heart and soul into it. And remember who you work for. I mean, you don't work for Paul Ryan. You don't work for the majority leader. You don't work for the machine that's back here in D.C. You work for Utahns. You work for the people of Utah's 3rd Congressional District. You also don't work for the state. That's the senator's job. And so you have to always constantly remind yourself of that. You know, we get criticized, I think, in Congress for going back and forth all the time. But as a conservative, you know, when we're in session, it's like, hey, duck and cover, America, look out. I really do believe that if you get out and you meet and you talk and you listen and you interact with the people in the district, then your perspective and your head is screwed on right when you come back here to D.C. And so don't become a creature of Washington, D.C. You know, my wife likes to joke when I slip, you know, sleeping on this cot, which we've talked way too much about through the years. It's like, it's not very comfortable, but my wife likes to say, hey, I didn't want him to ever get too comfortable. That's not home. That's not where you belong. We belong at home. And that's where we're at today. So I'm looking at this cot, looking forward to putting it in the garbage can, like right now.
Like right now, along with the sheets.
I'll tweet
right?
out a picture of it. I'll tweet a picture out. Go to Jason in the House, and I'll tweet out a picture of us getting rid of this thing.
Jason, I appreciate you joining us not only today but in the past. You have always taken our call, which I have always appreciated. You and I have had some great conversations, as I pointed out before when you were on the show. We've even had some, the old founding father's term is energetic conversations. But
yeah.
You always take my phone call, and I always take yours, and I've appreciated that. Thank you for your service. I look forward to more conversations, and I truly wish you, your beautiful wife, and your great family the very, very best.
Oh, thanks, Doug. I do appreciate it. Thank you.
Congressman Jason Chaffetz with us here at KSL News Radio. And bye.